Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. And today we're continuing with this powerful series called The Jesus Model. In this series, Rick will walk you step by step through the process of true biblical discipleship. Rick's giving you practical tools to grow spiritually, experience God's peace, live with greater purpose, and become more like Jesus in every area of your life. Well, I can't wait to get started, so here is part two of a message called Succeeding in Your Mission.
Then number three, third principle, he says simplification, and this is the principle on any mission, whether you're doing it at work, at school, or in overseas, keep it simple. Don't complicate it. Keep it simple. This is the principle of simplification. You see, a lot of times in Scripture, you have to understand that some of the Scriptures are hardest to understand, have the deepest truths in them, but you have to understand the application bridge. When you look at a passage in Scripture, you say, what did it mean for them? That's the interpretation. Then the implication, what's the timeless principle? That's the bridge. And then the application, what does it mean to us now? Now notice the second thing Jesus says. He says, don't take a traveler's bag or even an extra pair of sandals when you go on your mission trip. He's sending them out on a short-term mission. Don't take a traveler's bag or even an extra pair of sandals. Now, what is he saying here? Well, he's not saying don't take any luggage. He's not saying only the clothes on your back. Here's the point. You might write this down. Travel light. Travel light. Don't overpack. Don't take a lot of extra stuff. Don't take extra pairs of shoes and extra, you know. Why does he say do this? Well, a lot of luggage just slows you down. And on top of that, it can be misplaced. Anybody ever had any misplaced luggage in life? Yeah, I've left it in every continent. It can slow you down. It can be misplaced. It can be stolen. But there's a deeper reason. It's this. You don't want to show off wealth. You don't want to show off wealth. You're not going out on a fashion show. You're going out to serve the people in need. And you want to blend in. You don't want to draw attention to yourself. And it would be insensitive, for instance, if you took a whole bunch of pairs of shoes that you're used to wearing different shoes every day, and you go to a place where they don't even wear shoes, or they only have one pair per person. Would that be insensitive? Yes. And so he's saying, just make it, keep it simple. Don't take a lot of extra clothes. Don't take a lot of extra stuff. Just keep it simple. Wear plain clothes. When I travel around the world, I wear very plain clothes, not the fashion plate that I am in front of you. Oh, you laugh. You laugh. The point, here's the point that Jesus is making. Here's the timeless principle. When it comes to your mission in life, it's how you love, not how you look, that matters. It's how you love, not how you look. It's not your apparel, it's your attitude. It's not your appearance, it's your attitude. And it's your attitude that gets through to people. It's the attitude of love. So he says, get a partner, depend on God, and keep it simple. Now the fourth thing that Jesus says is the principle of concentration, and it's stay focused. Stay focused on your purpose. Remember what you're going to do. He says, you know, remember, you're not out there just for, it's not for gospel tourism, okay? You're not on vacation. You're going to help the poor. You're going to help the sick. You're going to help share the good news. You're going to represent Christ. The fourth thing Jesus says is he says, don't stop to greet anyone. By the way, it's not great, it's greet. To greet anyone on the road. And what does that mean? Does it mean I'm supposed to be rude to everybody? No. I'm supposed to be discourteous? I'm to be impolite? I'm to be uncivil to people? I shouldn't be friendly when I'm on mission for God? No, he's not saying that at all. In fact, the Bible says the exact opposite. It says, show respect to everybody. You must be polite and respectful to everyone. But what he says when he says, don't stop to greet, you need to understand that in the Middle East, particularly in New Testament days, a greeting could take hours. maybe even a day. And a greeting meant long conversation. It meant a lot of rituals. It maybe meant some food. It could take hours of storytelling. And if you greeted everybody you happened to come across in Middle Eastern hospitality, you had to go to their house and you would never get to where you were going. That's what he's saying here. Here's the point. Write this down. Don't be distracted. When you're on mission for God, don't be distracted. Remember, your mission is to serve. I said, you're not on vacation. You're not a tourist. It's not about you. And so you want to make every moment count. You want to have a sense of urgency. You don't loiter around. You don't wait precious time. People are dying. People are needing. People need your message. You need to be purpose-driven. Now, the number one reason why people miss their mission in life is they get distracted. They get distracted and they get delayed. And they start thinking to themselves, well, I'm going to serve God when this happens. After I get business to a certain stage, after I get married, after I get out of school, after I have kids, after the kids leave home, after I retire, someday I'll, and then you never get to it and your life is over. Mission is not something you do later on in life after you've done everything you wanted to do. God's mission for your life is what you do now during your life, in the middle of life. And he says, don't get distracted, don't get delayed. So let me ask you, what is it that distracts you from the suffering all around you? What is it that gets your attention so much that your eyes can't see the people who are hurting in your office, who are hurting next door to you where you live, who are hurting at school, who are hurting at the bus stop, who are hurting in the grocery store? What is it that causes you to get distracted and not see that the whole world is hurting? Jesus said, don't allow that to happen. Don't get distracted. Number five, the principle of affirmation. And the principle of affirmation is very important when you're on mission for God, and that is begin with a blessing. I need to explain this to you. You begin with a blessing. Now, this is how you get effective in making a difference with your life. You begin with a blessing. And the next thing that Jesus tells his peace teams when he's sending them out, he says, when you enter a house, because in those days, there weren't any hotels or motels, places like that. When you enter a house, first say, peace be to this house. That was one of the reasons we call this the peace plan. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Now, what's he saying there? The New Living Translation of this verse says, when you enter a home, give it a blessing. When you say, peace be unto this house, that is a blessing. You go anywhere in the Arab world, you'll hear people say, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. It means I'm blessing you with the peace of God. And he's saying, whenever you go and you want to make a difference in somebody's life, you don't start by telling them they're a sinner. You start by blessing them. You start by affirming them. You start by saying, God's peace be upon you. Now, what does he mean by this? Well, let's just take this in a practical situation, because this applies not only globally, if you go overseas, it applies when you go to work tomorrow, or when you go to a school, or wherever you do it. He's saying to you, first, when you go into a new situation, let's say you've got a new job and you don't know anybody there, and you're wondering, Lord, is there anybody here you could use me in their life? Or you go to a new school, you got a new class, you go, Lord, is there anybody in here that you'd like for me to minister to? You're going to use me as your agent for good in their life? Or you go in your neighborhood, you get in a new situation. He says the first thing you do is you look for a person of peace. Now circle the phrase, man of peace. If a man of peace is there, who is a man of peace? Well, first of all, it doesn't have to be a man. He could be a woman. But a person of peace has two things. They're receptive and they're respected. They're receptive to you, they'll listen to you, and they're respected by other people. They're open and they're influential. You can find a man of peace or a person of peace in every village. You can find one in every office, in every business. You can find one in every school. You can find him in every government. You can find him in every neighborhood. They're all around you. And he says, if you're going to start a ministry or a mission, you start with the most receptive person. Don't worry about the person who's not interested. You start with the person who's receptive and respected by other people. Find that person of peace. And he said, that's where you begin. He said, well, how do you find that person? He said, you offer a blessing and you see how they respond. You offer a blessing and you see how they respond. You say, well, how do you do that? How do you give a blessing? Okay, listen to me very closely, because you can use this this week, every day this next week. Here's how you bless people. You do it the way Jesus did. And Jesus always blessed people with a look, a word, and a touch. A look, a word, and a touch. A look, a word, and a touch. He would give a look of understanding. I understand what you're feeling. He would give a word of encouragement, and then he would give a touch of affirmation, a touch of friendliness. You know, a handshake, a pat on the back, you know, a squeeze on the hand, something like that. And that's how you bless other people. Jesus did this with everybody. He'd give them a look of understanding. I understand where you are. He would give them a word of encouragement, and he would, you know, you're going to make it. God is with you. And he would give them an affirming touch, you know, pat on the back. Why? Because everybody in the planet is starving for three things. Everybody is starving for understanding. Everybody is starving for encouragement. And everybody is starving for affection. And when you give those three things to a little child or a senior citizen or anybody in between, you are fulfilling the mission of God. You are blessing other people. You are blessing them the way Jesus would bless people. You give them a look, a word, and a touch. And he says, start with a blessing. And he says, you go out and you go into that new office, or you go into that new school classroom, or you go into the new neighborhood, or you go out and you offer a blessing. And if the person responds to that, you know they're a person of peace, and you start with them. He said, if they don't, they just turn it off, they shut it down. He goes, don't worry about it. I'm still going to bless you anyway. It'll bounce back to you. Notice what the verse said again. Look there on your outline. When you enter a house, say, peace be to this house. That's the blessing. And if a man is of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will what? Return to you. You know what God's saying there? He's saying, if you go out and you be nice to people and you give a look, a word, and a touch, and they don't respond to it, God says, that's okay. I'm just going to bounce that blessing right back to you. Because you cared about blessing somebody else, I'm going to give you that blessing. Isn't that cool? God says, it doesn't really matter how they respond. If you respond, if you treat people the way Jesus would, he said, whether they respond and in openness or not, he said, I'm going to bounce that blessing right back to you. I wonder who you could bless this week. Who do you know in your life who's going through a tough time? They just had a rough, they just lost their job, or their parent just died, or they got a bad health report, or their marriage is in trouble, or they got a kid who's having difficulties, or on and on and on. They're all around you. They're all around you. Who could I bless this week? That leads us to the principle number six, which is the principle of incarnation. And the principle of incarnation is invest time to build a relationship. Invest the time to build relationships. Now, what does the word incarnation mean? Incarnation comes from the word carne. Now, if you know Spanish, you know what carne means. It's meat. Chili con carne. Not just plain old chili. It's got with the meat added in. And in the Greek, it's the same thing. Carne means flesh. And the Bible, when we use the word incarnation, it's what Jesus did. God became flesh. God the Spirit came in a human body. That's called the incarnation. Jesus became flesh. He became a human being with real skin and bones. And Jesus said, that's the way you minister to people. See, the thing I love about Jesus is that Jesus just didn't facts in his love. He came in person. Okay, he came in person. And this is what God wants us to do. Now, he says here, first, incarnation. Invest the time to build relationships. Notice the point here. He says, when you enter a town, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place. And he says, settle down, stay in one place. Don't go looking for better accommodations. This place doesn't have any air conditioning. Don't be fickle. Don't be hard to please. Just stay in one place. Now, why does he say this? Well, there's several good reasons. First, it's good for your character. It's good for your character to not always have first-class stuff. It's good for your character because you learn contentment. Paul said this, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. He's saying, I know what it's like to stay in a 5-star hotel, and I know what it's like to stay in the Roach Motel. That I, you know, I can be happy in either place, okay? A military bunk bed or, a nice suite, whatever. He said, I've learned to be content in everything. It's good for your character. But there's a deeper reason when Jesus says, when you go into an area, stay in one place. It's the only way you build relationships. It's how you build relationships. And this is what we call the presence principle. What is the presence principle? Is that in order for you to make a difference in somebody's life, you got to show up. And a lot of ministry and a lot of missions is simply showing up. You don't have to do anything spectacular. You just show up. You be there. You get in their life. You can't help somebody unless you're there with them. You show up. You can't, you know, it's so important. It's how you build relationships. You see, you cannot win your enemies to Christ. You can only win your friends. And the way you win friends is by spending time with them. Let me say it this way. You have to be with people in order to win people. You can't do it long distance. You can't do it distracted and disconnected. You got to be with people in order to win them. You got to spend time with them. I've been to China many times, and in Asia, they have the old saying that missions involves a lot of tea drinking. And it's true. You spend a lot of time just drinking tea, just sitting in. Why? This is what Jesus did. When God wanted to tell us that he loved us, he didn't send a letter. He didn't send a Hallmark card. Actually, he's like Hallmark in that he cared enough to send the very best. He came himself. And when God wanted to tell you that he loved you, he simply showed up. He said, I'm coming to earth. I'm going to be there. I'm not faxing this in. I'm not emailing you. I'm going to be there. The Bible says this, the Word became flesh, incarnate. The Word became flesh, incarnation, and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's what we want to say, get grace and truth. Sometimes the most Christ-like thing you can do for somebody in that office, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in your family, somebody at school, is simply show up. You know, when they're going through a tough time, you go, man, I'm embarrassed. I don't know what to say. They just had this terrible crisis. I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just show up. Sit in the corner of the room and sit there. Just being present with somebody in their pain reduces the pain. It halves the pain. I've talked to people in Africa, in many countries there, who say, you know, when Americans come to Africa, they always want to do something. Americans are such doers. They always want to build something. They always want to create something. They always want to fix something. They always want to reorganize something. So just show up. Being there is the sacrament of presence. Chill out, relax, build a relationship before you start working on activities. Now that's true whether you're going across the street or across the ocean. Build the relationship. And you build a relationship between your heart and their heart, and Jesus Christ can walk across. That's how you do your mission in life. Just relax. Don't try to do everything. Just showing up means you care. Means you care. And what we discovered is that when peace teams actually brought their kids, they go, "You brought your kids. That means you really care." Actually, knocked it up a bunch. How do you know when you're building a relationship? Well, globally, I tell you this, when you get home, you still remember their name. That's one of the ways. They weren't just a faceless person. You remember their names. And you learn to do that. And you build that relationship. And the peace plan that we do is built on what we call the baton model, is that a team goes in, and then when they leave, they pass the baton off to another team, and then the new team goes in, and they continue the relationship.
That was such an encouraging message from Pastor Rick. And now to encourage us more, here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I really like to end these broadcasts by reading some of the letters that come in from you. They always encourage me, and I think when I read them, they encourage you. This one's from a woman named Joy. She says, "Thank you so much, Pastor Rick, for the Daily Hope devotional messages that are emailed to me. They help me get through tough times." She said, "I feel like I didn't have the right to question God, but I wondered why he was letting me experience all these things. But now, through these devotionals, I look on what's happening as a challenge for my betterment. And I may not know all of God's reasons in this moment, but I believe that God will not let me down, and instead I believe he'll guide me in the right path where his help, his guidance, his forgiveness, and his blessings and his prayers are always abundant. Thank you." Signed, Joy. Well, thank you, Joy. I'm encouraged by your faith, and I know other people will be too who hear this letter. You know, we can always trust that God's in control, even when we don't understand why things are happening. And it blesses me when I hear people like you finding hope. That's the whole purpose of this program. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue looking in God's Word for our daily hope.
To sign up for Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.